This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We recorded this program earlier. It may have been toxic levels of pollution in two central reservoirs that prompted ancient Mayans to flee a city of theirs. That's according to new details from researchers at the University of Cincinnati, one of whom joined me to talk about it. And joining me now is David Lentz. He's professor and executive director at the University of Cincinnati Center for Field Studies within the Department of Biological Sciences. Dr. Lentz, thank you so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
You went a great distance, both in geography and in time, to do this latest study. And I think a question that might weigh on the general public's mind is, why is this important to do? Why go to this place and look into this thing?
Well, Michael, that's a good question. We were working at the ancient city of Tikal. It's kind of a Maya ruin now, but it was once one of the preeminent cities of the ancient Maya realm. And we wanted to study this area because these kinds of studies give us an idea about sort of the longer perspective on societies in general. For example, why do societies arise and then eventually falter? And Tikal is a particularly good example of this because the city was there for almost 2,000 years. And their final demise, we believe, was caused by environmental factors. And so this is a good example of how people live sustainably for centuries and centuries, and then somehow they went off the rails.
So this is something that we could apply to modern thinking about why there are regulations in certain environmental areas and the impact that pollution could have on us.
Absolutely. I mean, there are tremendous ways to interpret this in our modern society. Unfortunately, in our modern society, we tend to look at things in the next business cycle or, in the next fiscal year. But we don't really always look in the long term. And, this is a fatal mistake. And because the Maya made some of these fatal mistakes, as did other civilizations. For example, in Rome, they put lead in the pipes, and they had no idea that that was going to be a problem for them. But we, sort of unlike the Maya, unlike the Romans, we have a better idea of how the world works, and we can actually see some of the problems coming down the road, and it would behoove us to pay attention to what science is telling us.
Well, tell us about Tikal, and where was it, and when was it?
Tikal is in northern Guatemala. It's located in what is called the tropical rainforest, and it's in that part of the rainforest that's called the wet and dry tropics, so that for part of the year, it rains like crazy. It just rains like every day, and I'm not talking just a little light rain. It rains in buckets, and then part of the year, it doesn't rain at all. And so this was kind of a challenge for the ancient Maya. Now, Tikal is in a place where there are no rivers, and there are no lakes nearby. There are no natural bodies of water, and the water table is about 200 yards below the surface. So they couldn't dig wells and things like that. So they were entirely dependent upon rainwater, and so. What we know about them is they started as a very small kind of village there, and people settled there because there were some springs coming out of a high plateau, and there was a good source of fresh water coming out of these springs, and they could get through the dry season, and that would be fine. And then as the city grew, they sort of said, okay, well, we can sort of wall off these ravines, and then we'll create like these little reservoirs. And then as the city continued to grow and grow, then they got the idea of, okay, well, we'll enhance these little reservoirs that we've built, and we'll create these big pavements. And so they began paving things. And this gets into like the 6th and 7th century. This is 7th century AD, and that when the city really, really began to grow. And within a period, it's called the Late Classic period. And at the beginning of the Late Classic period, this is when they started to build all these wonderful temples and palaces, and they paved all these areas. As the city grew, they needed more water, and they were dependent on these reservoirs because of the dry periods I was telling you about. So they paved all of these areas that were next to all these huge temples, so the water would go down into the reservoirs, and it seemed like a great idea. Unfortunately, one of the things they did was they painted these temples with a substance called cinnabar. It has mercury in it. And so they had these buildings painted with mercury, and also they covered all of their burials with cinnabar. It's a blood-red color. And eventually all of this stuff washed into the reservoir. So they had a severe problem with mercury by the time we get into the 8th and 9th century. And as you know, that even a little bit of mercury is very dangerous.
I want to talk about cinnabar, and I want to talk about the painting and more about what you discovered. We're talking with David Lentz. He's a professor and executive director at the University of Cincinnati Center for Field Studies in the Department of Biological Sciences. And today we're talking about some recent research conducted by him and others that looked at how ancient Maya reservoirs were polluted. Before we get back into the pollution component, can you give us an overview of what society was like in Tikal? Because you're talking about building temples and infrastructure. What was the day-to-day life like by the time that you got to what I think you refer to as the late classical period?
Yes, that's right, the late classic period. And the society was, there were elites, there was what we call the royal, the rulers of the city, and then there was a sort of a class just under them. They were the sub-royal elites, and they were very privileged families. And this might have been 1 or 2% of the population, and then the other 98% or 90%. Of the population, they were peasants or commoners, we might call them, and they were farmers. And they raised different kinds of food. They grew corn, beans, and squash. They were very important, but they also grew lots of other things. They had lots of root crops. For example, they grew manioc, which is something we call tapioca. And they had another plant that was called yautja, which is sometimes called American taro. And they had sweet potatoes, achira. And they had a bunch of tree crops, like a bunch of palm trees that they grew, and avocados, which I personally love. I'm grateful to the Maya and other people, and chocolate. I think we all love chocolate.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of these different crops that they made a great contribution to our society today. So that was kind of what life was like. And then in the like 7th, 8th century, they really emerged. It was a great society. They had this wonderful architecture, and they built these huge temples that are still standing today, you know, over 1,000 years later. And they had ball courts, they played ball games, a lot of these had religious significance, and they had just a wonderful city that was built there. But about 7th century, things, because Tikal was a prominent city, and they were doing all these buildings that attracted a lot of people to the city, and the city grew about 4 times its size from previous centuries. And as that happened, they began to clear more and more of their forests, which they had protected at one point. I won't go into the details of how we know that, but they began cutting down more and more of their forests so that they could, A, build these buildings, and B, they would have more agricultural land. Well, the problem when you do this, and this goes under the category of unintended consequences, that when you clear down a forest like that, that it disrupts the hydrologic cycle. And what that meant for the Maya was, as the rainfall came down in the rainy season, there are no trees there to absorb that rain, then the rain would just flow into the ground. And the ground is this, it's sort of a raised karst plateau. And that means the underbedding of the ground is this calcium carbonate, and the water will flow into the ground, and then it's lost into the water table. So, in effect, the Maya, by clearing so much of the forest, and we know this from other studies, particularly down in Brazil, that if you clear a lot of the forest, then you will actually reduce the local rainfall. So, in some ways, the Maya may have contributed to the droughts of the 9th century, which eventually caused the abandonment of the city. It was called the collapse of the Maya. And scholars have been studying this for over 100 years, trying to figure out why the Maya abandoned their cities in the interior elevated region.
Wow. And again, we are talking with Professor David Lentz. He's also executive director at the University of Cincinnati Center for Field Studies, and he works in the Department of Biological Sciences. I want to note that one of your colleagues on this study, Kenneth Tankersley, who's an associate professor of anthropology at the University of Cincinnati, about the water that was apparently polluted by the paint, the cinnabar. He says that the water would have looked nasty. It would have tasted nasty. And, quote, there would have been these big algae blooms. Nobody would have wanted to drink that water. What can you tell us about the Maya in that period and how civilization at that time here in the Western Hemisphere would have been aware of what to stay away from?
Well, let's back up a little bit here. So as the droughts hit in the 9th century, sort of the study that we're going to talk about really began because we wanted to see what that drought looked like. First of all, we know that there was a shortage of food because the crops would have failed during these droughts. And this was like a multi-decadal drought here, so lasting about 20 years. And the Maya didn't really have good ways to store food. I mean, they could store food for maybe a year or two, but not for a decade. And it was very hard to move food around, too, because they didn't have any animals, they didn't have any carts with wheels or anything like that. So food became a problem. And what happened in the reservoirs is that the water table obviously went down in the reservoirs. And we know that the Maya contributed organic waste to the reservoirs. We know that because there was a kitchen like on the side of the palace reservoir, and the cooks threw scraps out the window of the reservoir. We know that because there was a midden right beside the kitchen, and in the rainy season, all of that food waste would have washed down into the reservoir. So you have organic pollution in this reservoir, and this creates a perfect soup for cyanobacteria, or we sometimes call it blue-green algae. And so when the water table went down in the reservoirs, you have this organic pollution in there, creates a perfect medium for the growth of cyanobacteria. And the kind of cyanobacteria we found there right before the abandonment of the city was this kind that was a genus called Planktothrix. And this and Microcystis. And both of these blue-green algae produce very toxic materials. And these, they're called microcystins, and they're very deadly. So just like one little drop would kill you.
Wow.
You can't clean the water once it's in your water supply. Even if you boil it, it doesn't denature when it's boiled. So it's very, very dangerous. So this water would have been contaminated with the blue-green algae. I don't think they would have known about the mercury, but the blue-green algae would have been obvious to them, and anybody who drank those waters, they would have died. And so not only would that have an immediate impact of taking away a major part of the water supply, think of what the political ramifications of that would have been. Now, the two reservoirs that were badly polluted were the ones right in the middle of the city. And this is where the rulers would have gotten their drinking water. And so what would the Maya think when they see these polluted reservoirs? That they got, they would say, God, there's clearly something wrong here. And how would you explain that? And one possible explanation is that they thought the gods were angry with them. And more particularly, they would have thought that their leaders were not doing a good job of appeasing the gods. And so this may have been seen as a curse from God. And when you feel like your city is cursed, you have no food, the water can't be consumed, you know, I think this goes a long way towards explaining why the people left the city of Tikal. And then let's get back to the mercury issue.
Yeah, this is now, from cinnabar. This is something you referenced earlier, this cinnabar, and this is how the Maya would color the walls of their temples. That's how they would create murals. And this is something that, according to the information that was sent to us from the University of Cincinnati, this is a red-colored mineral that's composed of mercury sulfide. Yeah. And it was mined from a nearby volcanic feature that's known as, I'd say, Todos Santos Formation?
Right. It was mined from certain areas in Mesoamerica. And what would have happened here, the mercury in the water would not have been as apparent. So what happened for probably one or two centuries, there was a constant leaching of mercury down into the reservoirs. And the rulers of the city were having their food made in a kitchen that was right next to the reservoir that was contaminated with mercury. So what that meant was these rulers would have their tamales laced with mercury at every meal. And mercury, I think most people know, it's sort of famous for the Mad Hatter's disease, and also there's a metabolic syndrome that goes along with mercury, where people become not only a little crazy because it does things to the nervous system and the brain, but it also creates obesity. And we have some pictures of these Maya rulers during the Terminal Classic that are enormously obese, and reasonably so. And they probably were suffering from this metabolic syndrome. So that at a time when the people were suffering, when there were droughts, when their water was polluted, then we also have leaders who are not quite right in the head and probably could not lead them as well as you would like. And I think we see this all the time, that sometimes we get bad leaders. And usually a society that's relatively stable can withstand a bad leader now and again. But if you have a whole succession of them, that it really sort of undermines the faith of people in society.
And this study focused on reservoirs in the center of an ancient Maya city, Tikal, that were so polluted with mercury and algae that the water was likely undrinkable. As you heard here, it caused significant problems for this very fascinating civilization. This study was published in the Nature Journal Scientific Reports, and it was conducted by researchers from the University of Cincinnati, including David Lenz, a professor and executive director of the University of Cincinnati Center for Field Studies in the Department of Biological Sciences. Dr. Lenz, thank you so much for this brief overview of a very fascinating topic. I know if people want to learn more, we'll have a link at wvxu.org. It's truly fascinating, and I hope you'll come back and share some more about what you find out there.
Michael, I would love to do that. Before I sign off here, I would like to thank my co-authors. I had a lot of brilliant people who worked on this project, including Trinity Hamilton, Nick Dunning, Vern Scarborough, Todd Luxton, Anne von der Heide, Eric Tepe, Corey Profeta, and Allison Weiss, as well as Ken Tankersley, who you mentioned. So thank you very much for having me. I do appreciate it.
Our pleasure to have you. Thanks again for joining us.
All right. We'll be right back.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.